So I think you got to trust your eyes before you get worked into a shoot over what you see on a what you see on the field. You got to trust it before you get worked into a shoot about what you see on paper. I did not see this reaction that Lima saw, so maybe we're just looking at different people here. I thought that the responses that I saw based on the depth chart were measured. People said that they weren't surprised or they were unbothered by anything they saw. Lima, you said you saw a much different reaction.
Yeah. I mean, there have been people just fired up over, you know, this situation in general, but they couldn't believe that Shador puts on that performance. The national talking heads, man, they seem to get on board, right? Like, nobody thought he didn't play well. They either thought, all right, this means he needs to move up the depth chart, or, all right, it's preseason game one, but, man, he was better than I expected. Like, nobody could bag on the performance, and because of that, I think they expected not to see a number four in front of him when it came to the depth chart with four quarterbacks.
It's
like if they would have been forced to put Deshaun Watson in there too. Who did you see the video yesterday of Deshaun Watson? This. Boy, it doesn't seem like Jimmy Haslam's going to get relief that insurance money anytime soon. He looks healthy to play.
But whose hat was he wearing?
He's wearing a number four hat.
Was this a number four?
I don't know what he was wearing in the video.
No,
I didn't see the video.
In the video.
Does the number four support Shador Sanders because he's fourth on the depth chart?
Well, no, he's fifth on the depth chart. So he has to get a number five.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, that's all I was seeing. I was seeing people that could not believe, especially when they saw the Sando quarterback tiers. Where was Joe Flacco? 30th?
He was 31st.
31st?
I haven't done my QB tiers yet.
Holy
I missed the opportunity? Should I do my QB tiers?
No, up until the start of the season. It's okay. All about tiers.
Then I'm going to have them out by the end of the week.
So they couldn't believe that, wait a second, we have the 31st ranked starting quarterback. We have a journeyman, 23-year-old journeyman in Kenny Pickett, or however old he is. Dylan Gabriel overdrafted, and then yet the guy that just balled out in the preseason game in front of, I guess, 3 million people or so watched that preseason game. It got the highest rating that night. He's fourth on the depth chart. I think that's what is driving some people.
But
nuts.
I don't think that they need to see. Then they're just big Shador fans and they don't follow the NFL. How often do we see changes on depth charts?
Yeah, that I don't know.
With injuries, that's the only time you really see them. We don't see these things all the time. How long have you covered the Browns, Anthony? A long time, same as I have. When have we ever seen big changes on the depth chart? Only when there's been injuries. So, guys, for everybody who's Shador fans who are just jumping into this for the first time, welcome to the NFL. Because on unofficial PR depth charts, we hear stories all the time, but on unofficial PR depth charts, nothing changes. Because they don't want to answer that question. Well, why did you move Shador up? And the answer would be, well, look how he played on Friday. Well, yeah, but if he goes and he doesn't play that well when they mix a couple of things in with Philadelphia, well, now I got to bump him down the depth chart. Now I'm just playing with Shador's emotions publicly in the depth chart. Same thing would happen for Dylan Gabriel. Why are you bumping Dylan Gabriel down the depth chart? He didn't even have a chance to play. He's been injured. Same thing with Kenny Pickett. So you know what you do? You have your first depth chart and you leave it there. That's what they did. My depth chart is currently Joe, Shador, Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett.
Now, could that change if Kenny Pickett played against Philly on Friday and you hear whatever he does in the dual practices? I'm not sure because we still don't know about his health.
But
if
Kenny,
if Dylan Gabriel, if Dylan Gabriel played well in the game, whatever this week, has a good week, can he jump back ahead of Shador?
In my,
yeah,
he's got to play really, really well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What if he does? Or have you made up your mind after one preseason game?
Does Shador get to play in that game on Saturday?
Yeah.
How does Shador play?
Let's say he doesn't play as well as Dylan Gabriel.
But does he play bad?
For the sake of this argument, yes, he plays bad. Are you week to week?
No, because I didn't have Dylan Gabriel ahead of him in the first place. Right? Yeah. I didn't have Dylan Gabriel ahead of him in the first place.
Now, the Browns did.
Okay, it's not the first or the last time I'm going to disagree with the Cleveland Browns. What is your ranking? What do you think? And I want to know. I want you to speculate what you think their real depth chart is.
Do you think
their real depth chart is this?
I think they need to see one more game out of Shador before they realistically put him ahead. I would agree with you. I think they think Dylan Gabriel's better than Shador.
I would agree with you.
But this is just a preseason depth chart, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll change before the regular season starts, potentially.
I think, well, every depth chart is as if it should be, in real depth charts, it should be as if you got a game you actually have to win on Sunday.
Well, because I wonder, so one of these two guys is going to be the scout team quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if one is the scout team quarterback and the other one's not even getting snaps with the scout team or as a third stringer, because it's hard to get a third string snap during the regular week, right? So if one's getting a scout team rep and the other one's not even getting a rep, is the scout team guy the third quarterback or the fourth quarterback?
It depends on the type of quarterback that they play.
You think they'll switch them every week?
Well, if you... Okay, so you are talking about... What's the depth chart right now?
Well, the depth chart... I mean,
216-474-0092.
I agree with what the Browns have right now.
Okay, you agree with that?
Only because that's the way that they have practiced
so
every day.
Can Dylan get out there and scoot at all? Or is he just a shorter version of Shador? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just asking.
I don't know. I haven't seen him. I haven't got to personally see him in real live fire. I've only seen him in practice.
Because Shador can move around a little bit, but it's not like he's Lamar Jackson out there. So if you're playing, Joe Burrow can move around a little bit, but he ain't Lamar Jackson. So if you're playing,
Peyton Manning could move around a little bit.
He could. He could feel it in the pocket and get out there. But I get what you're saying. If you were playing Joe Burrow in Cincinnati on Sunday, it's like, okay, Shador could run that scout team. If you were playing if you're playing Miami, well, I guess Dylan Gabriel can run that scout team. Because people were saying that, well, they might trade for Dylan Gabriel. The Miami Dolphins would, which I don't understand how they would trade for a third rounder when they took Quinn Ewers, but we were in crazy times. So what is everybody else's depth chart? Because my depth chart would be, as of right now, Joe, Shador, Dylan, Kenny Pickett.
But that's just
and I don't think I'd move it.
That's your wants. That's not what you believe the teams is.
No. I believe it's the same thing Lima just said. Where you believe it's...
Yeah, I mean, we had people... There are some insiders that have said, no, this job was supposed to be for Kenny Pickett to win. The starting quarterback.
That's why he was sending all the texts.
And who has had him number one on any depth chart?
Not me.
Now,
Jason Lloyd.
Some of it hasn't been fair.
I kind of did, only because I don't actually put Flacco on a depth chart. I think Flacco is an insurance policy.
was Jason thinking of his own personal opinion, or was he just saying that's what the Browns have?
I think he's going off of the facts that were out there before they started actually practicing football.
Because I love Jason, but let's call it what it is. He loves to do that. Well, this is what the Browns do. I want to know what Jason wants. Now, I've said that to him, and I'll say it to him on here. I don't care.
Kenny Pickett is the guy they went and got first, right?
Correct. They have to put him higher on the depth chart.
So we thought that meant, and then they went and got Flacco. Now, why did they go and get Flacco? You said insurance policy.
Yes.
But Kenny, me and you have been like, he's number one. He's going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to see what they could get out of these other three guys. And if they are not satisfied that any one of them can lead an NFL team to actually pretend to try to win.
Then by default, it's Flacco.
By default, you put Flacco.
Because it really didn't matter what Flacco looked like.
I made the analogy when he first came back that Flacco is frozen pizza. He's there. He's always, he's there. You can go out and have a good time and you might need something to eat.
Greatest analogy.
And you can pop him in the oven and he's ready to go.
He's going
to
get it done. And you're going to be very thankful he was there.
And the rest of them are some, you can name your chain or whatever, right? Sometimes you get a really good one, and sometimes you get one that you hadn't paid for.
So then I ask, and again,
God, you're so right.
We don't know about Kenny Pickett's health, but if Kenny Pickett has a great week this week, does he vault ahead of Joe Flacco? I think the Browns are probably just looking for that because he's 27.
Yeah. The Browns have to believe that has a good week this week, that's the true Kenny Pickett, and it wasn't a one-week thing. And that's where the hamstring injury has really screwed this whole deal.
So then what would that do to the depth chart? I know we're right back at square one, but then would it not be Kenny Pickett one, Joe Flacco two?
Owen just made a really great point, because how often have you had a really, unless you cooked it wrong, when have you ever had an inedible frozen pizza? Like, I've had some pizzas delivered, and I go, you can't eat this. The worst pizza I ever had one time was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was so bad.
It does its job, and you're like, it's satisfying, and then every once in a while it throws two interceptions against Houston, and you're screwed.
There you go. Like sometimes you get the boom booms afterwards.
Now you might have to ask the Colts fans, how did they feel about that pizza last year?
I don't care about what Colts fans.
Well, they don't have the same type of pizza.
They had that pizza last year.
They used different toppings.
Colts fans were just upset because the quarterback that they drafted, what, third or fourth overall that year, ends up sucking up the room, and they already want to move on from the guy. They have misplaced their anger. They put it at Joe Flacco's feet when it's really after Anthony Richardson. Joe Flacco wasn't the one who called for somebody to come in for him after running for a first down. That's what I think of Colts fans. I'm going to continue to whisper into the microphone. Jeff in Sebastian, Florida. You're listening on the Free Odyssey app. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I love the pizza reference to Joe.
That's such a good analogy. Owen is so right about that.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I wanted to go back to something I heard a little bit earlier and was talking about. We all believe that we need to see Gabriel play in this game, and hopefully his leg will let him do that. But even if he does or he doesn't, he plays well or he doesn't, it doesn't matter either way. What you guys referenced that maybe they would still look to trade him.
Which one again?
Gabriel.
Well, it was odd to me that other teams immediately wanted to trade for him.
Indeed.
And so my whole argument was, okay, did you get him just because you wanted currency? Because they love to mention that quarterbacks are currency. I go, how can you be a team that needs talent? You need guys who actually play on the field, but you drafted a quarterback to become currency for you.
Right. Well, mm-hmm. I think we were all surprised by the pick of Gabriel in the third, for sure. But at this point, it depends on what he does, obviously. I still think Sanders is the most talented quarterback on the squad, and that's counting all six of them right now. But what they could justify by trading him for a fourth or even a fifth-round pick if they wanted to is because they got Sanders at five, and I think everybody in the world is starting to believe that he's obviously not a fifth-round talent. He's a first- or second-round talent, and thereby justify your poor pick at three.
Yeah.
And get rid of it.
Yeah.
Write it off.
He's taken the first step, but that, you know, they're going to trade me pick. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. And hey, if you end up getting a good player out of that, then fine. I guess it's going to work out. But my whole thing is, why didn't you just try to do your scouting and get yourself a good player here? There were good players that were taken. I assume right now, we don't know yet, but there were definitely players that people were excited about after Dylan Gabriel was taken at number 94. What did you do to scout? Because you have other holes. You can only play one quarterback at a time. I know they did it once with Johnny Manziel, but you can only play one quarterback at a time. So if he just ends up being a career backup, if he just ends up being Colt McCoy, you know, if you were a Cincinnati Bengals and you had your offense lined up for what you believe for many years, for Buffalo, for Philadelphia, for so many other teams that are good, then I think you could do that and go, hey, we're going to have our Colt McCoy here for the next 4 years, and then we're going to really have him for 3 years, and then we're going to trade him, and we're going to get picks back, and then we're going to redo it. Like, you're operating as if you're a team that's 14-3, not 3-14. That was my concern with it. Because, yeah, they're highly based on value, but do you see the situation that you're in right now? Unless they are completely safe 100% no matter what, and there's going to be no problem whatsoever at the end of this season, no matter what the final record is, which I find hard to believe, especially when you consider these future rankings that Lima found, which will boggle your mind. But you know what they told me, Tone? The rest of the NFL can have a separation between Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. I tease this. It's 9:20 before we get back to the business here. You got the ESPN stuff in front of you real quick. But, okay, we'll get to that here in a second. What was what you asked me? Do you remember what you asked me about Drew Aller?
So we have been talking Shador, obviously, Arch Manning, the rookies next year. You know, we're all wondering who's going to be quarterback next year. And I said, man, the Drew Aller stuff. We played audio about his
Ross Tucker football podcast.
Yeah, his grandparents,
Paul Cannon,
huge Browns fan, lifetime. It sounded like a caller to the show. I've been season ticket holder for 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's his family. I mean, he played high school football. We both covered him in high school football. Goes on to Penn State. But because He didn't play well against Ohio State in the game everybody watched. Does anybody seem to care that he's a lifelong Browns fan?
Nope.
Because had he have been dominant against Ohio State, I think everybody would have said, it's over. We want Jarrell. Like, that's the guy we want.
I got to be honest, and I hope his family's listening. I hate the offense that he's in. I think his play caller has called plays just to be cute for Instagram. I mean, the constant, like, it was
reckless speculation.
I don't think it's reckless at all. I think that the guy calling plays for him listens to the college football podcast and loves that these guys love the plays that he calls that are really nonsensical at times, because you keep doing the same thing over and over again against the same opponent. Like, it's fun when you line up a tackle and a wing and bring him down, but when you consistently do it against a team like Ohio State and then they thwart you, maybe you're going to have to do something different. When you constantly recruit wide receivers, now things are changing quickly, but when you've recruited some wide receivers at a mid-level,
I mean, Julian
in
Fleming,
the Big Ten.
They brought in Julian Fleming last year. They had three passes that were caught by wide receivers in that Ohio State game where they only scored 13 points.
I mean,
points.
You go back to that game and watch some of those passes. Tell me that's Drew Aller's fault. And I'm going to say this now.
Oh, I'm sorry, they only scored one touchdown, remember, because the other one was an interception return for a touchdown.
I like Drew Aller. Can I just say this? I do not want the Browns to draft him. I wouldn't want my son to be drafted by the Browns.
But you wouldn't
it's
have said
nothing
that.
Against the Browns.
You would not have said that if he would have been dominant against Ohio State. You'd have been like, we'd do everything we can to get him.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be very terrified.
Oh, come on.
I would say he's a really good player, but I'm going to pray for the kid every single day.
Kenny, come on.
No. Listen to what I just said. I know you want to fight
that to the number one team in the country.
Listen to what I just said. You didn't listen to what I just said. You wanted to try to catch me in a lie because you're obsessed with catching me in lies. That's not what I said.
I just didn't believe
heard
you.
What I said.
I just didn't believe that you wouldn't want him.
I would say he's the right pick. You have to draft him. I would also follow everything up with, I'm absolutely terrified and I'm going to pray for him every day, because you can't go home twice. If he sucks here, where does he go?
Would you have said that about Bernie Kosar?
I don't know. I was like one year old when Bernie Kosar was here.
But let's say we're doing this in 1983.
No, because we weren't looking for a messiah in night. What year did Bernie come out? 85? Talk amongst yourselves. Go ahead.
Yeah,
real quick.
I totally understand what Ken's saying.
Thank you.
But what I'm saying to you, Ken, is you are taking every kid that is good at quarterback in Northeast Ohio and telling them you never want them to play for the Browns.
We did say
and
it.
And I understand why you say
he
that.
He said it with
That's
Mitch Trubisky.
So,
I don't know who Glenville's quarterback
is right now, but he does not want you to play for the Browns. Your dream of playing for the Browns one day, Ken does not want that.
Sorry.
But yet, did you do this with LeBron James?
Avon's quarterback.
I hope I'm saying this.
He doesn't care about
the kid
you.
From,
he doesn't
the,
want you to play
the
for
kid
the
from Maple Heights, Luke Anslover. Yeah. I hope I'm saying his last name right. I think I'm saying his last name right. Wonderful young man. I look forward to his season. Yeah. I wish him a world of success, just not with the Cleveland Browns. Whoever the Browns take as their next franchise QB, I'm going to get smashed for this. I fear for you. Because if you're from Houston, Texas, or whatever, fine. That ain't no big deal. You can go back home to Houston, Texas. But we're looking for a messiah. We ain't looking for a quarterback. I mean, we are looking for somebody to staff talks a little bit weird considering the Saturday, but we're looking for somebody to lead us through the desert and finally take us to a promised land here. And I just can't imagine if you were the quarterback of the Browns and you were from Northeast Ohio and your family were a bunch of Browns fans and they had Browns season tickets and you went out there and sucked for the Browns. I cannot imagine how horrific that would be. I told you before and I'll tell you again. Like, Axel's 10. He says he wants to be a football coach. Well, he's 10 years old. Lots of 10-year-olds say lots of things. But let's say we go through this and my son ends up like Kevin Stefanski. The things that people have said about Kevin Stefanski over the last 6 years, you think I want to sit here while they say that about my son? And I would be much more happy if they were saying the same exact thing about my son if he were the head coach of the Detroit Lions or the head coach of the Houston Texans or the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys or God knows who else. Not here, because you can't go home twice. If I don't have a home to go back to, then I'm really stuck. I would hate it. You would hate it. This is your home now. I know you're from Oklahoma, but this is your home. You know you both would hate that. You would hate to be like, all right, double birds to everybody from back home. It wasn't my fault, this, that, and the other. You'd hate that.
Now, does this only pertain to football? Because I would bring up, like, LeBron James had a lot of pressure to try to make history in his, you know, I call Cleveland his hometown, but his home region.
Yeah.
Is it different because it's the Cavs and they didn't have...
No, that was a hell of a lot of pressure on him. I was a much younger person. I'm not as nearly as emotional at that then as I am now. I think that the Cavaliers have enjoyed a lot of success, now without LeBron for the first time, but really over the last 20-plus years. The Cavs or the Browns have not enjoyed very much success at all. And whoever takes over as quarterback, there is just such an immense amount of suffocating pressure on whoever that is. And so many guys have not been ready for it. So many guys have not been ready. Baker, as much as you guys want to bitch my ear off about it, and guys, I agree with you now about it. Yes, yes.
So if you played any other position, it'd be fine. Because I wonder, we're much further down the road, but like Guardians, they probably won't win a World Series before my kid makes it to hopefully at least play in college ball and maybe more, right?
Uh-huh.
I want him to play for the Guardians.
It's basically just the quarterback.
It's just a quarterback.
It's just a quarterback.
If he was the next D-end, he's the next Myles Garrett, you'd be okay if he came and played in Cleveland.
I'd say sunset the cruise control at 69 miles an hour going through Strongsville.
I can't drive 55 or 65 or 75 or 80.
I don't know a fan base that's as obsessed with finding a quarterback as us. I don't know an owner who's as obsessed with finding a quarterback as Jimmy Haslam. I really believe there's nobody more obsessed with finding a quarterback than this fan base and this ownership. And I think that's a tremendous amount of pressure. And I think if you were to fail, the fear of failure is greater than my thought of success. So it does help that Cade Klubnik ain't from here. It does help that Lenora Sellers ain't from here. It helps that Shador Sanders ain't from here. Because, God, if they were from here, that's just so much pressure. Your whole family around you, everybody around you, they all grew up Browns fans. I mean, you're thinking like a Super Bowl from day one. No. So November 1st becomes his Super Bowl in so many ways. Because if he goes out and he plays well against Penn State and we're sucking up the room well, against Ohio State and we're sucking up the room well, there it is. Was that even the question you wanted to ask me?
Obviously, like the Bernie example is famous. He was a Browns fan and then he manipulated the whole draft to be able to go to the Browns.
Yeah, it was a ballsy move.
And
worked out.
What I was kind of wondering is, you know, Drew Aller right now, I think there's a perception of him as somebody could be a top 10 pick next year. Has the skills to do it, but people aren't talking about him the way they are, say, you know, Arch Manning. But if he plays and makes amends for what he didn't do last year against Ohio State and was able to do that this year, like, does that change the discussion? And all of a sudden, are we now tying in, hey, lifelong Browns fan, his family, Browns fans? Like, this is just perfect. It's a perfect storyline.
Scott, I know for a fact, though, scouts love him. He's going top five, top three, somewhere in there next year. Scouts love him so much. They feel the same. I'm not saying any of this that I haven't been told by any scout whatsoever about
the body type,
about his offense that he works in, the over-imagination with the play calling that goes on in that offense, how they're just calling plays for podcasters. Like, that ain't nothing that I ain't never been told before. Okay, I'm just going to point that out right now. And there have been people close to the program over there who have felt the same way. So I'm just defending Drew Aller to a certain level. So you can be as non-Penn State supportive as you want. He still looks like a prototype that they want. And there's plenty of scouts right now and plenty of coaches right now that see Drew Aller and they're like, I can't wait to get him in my uniform and I get to work with him and I get to do it. Whether they lead him down the primrose path or to Super Bowl 60 or whatever it is, then fine. But that's the way they think of the guy. And if it ends up being with the Cleveland Browns, if he goes out there and he has a dynamite season and everything's good, I will have to reluctantly say if the Browns are bad and they don't have their quarterback figured out, you guys all want to tell me it's only been one preseason game. Guys, I know that. I want to have some hope for a moment before we go off to our 5-win season here. If we end up being a bad football team and we have that number one pick or number two pick or whatever, yeah, I'll say that he's the pick, but I'll do it reluctantly. Because, damn, man, there's so much bleeping pressure on him. So, Yeah. If we had a guy who was a Brian Sipe that he was taking over for, I might feel a little different. But I still don't know because it's when Bernie came out in 85, it's a quarterback league still. We didn't notice it yet, but man, there were so many more things that, you know, Bernie was great. And what bothers me, like, because we try to be historians about this, what made Bernie so great, people go back and they look at their football reference, like, you guys sit there and pray to this? And we're like, yeah, he was really, really, really good. It was a different game at that time. He had 2,000-yard backs behind him. You didn't have to sit there and throw the ball all over the field all the time. Also, you didn't have the type of rules that you have right now where it's basically a free-for-all. If you plot Bernie Kosar into this year's draft, I would sit there and say, well, everybody would still hate him because he wasn't that great of a runner. But obviously, he was a hell of a passer, and he would probably flourish in a passing league with all these different rules now. So you could take all his yards and inflate them like crazy in the 2020s. But in 1985, yeah, those are dynamite seasons. That's a dynamite, laser-accurate quarterback. He was a reason to be excited. And I would want the next guy to be excited. But, you know, Bernie did follow Brian Sipe. So you had success right before he took over. We've had very little success, if any. And the guy that we had a little bit of success with, well, we obviously know what that happened, so it's made people very bitter and distrusting of the franchise. That's a hell of a lot to go on for a Drew Aller, is it not? If you were Drew Aller's daddy, you wouldn't be a little nervous about that?
Because
you got to go from Browns fan to quarterback dad.
The NFL's not easy. I imagine these guys all, it's why Caleb Williams' dad was trying to plot out a path for him to go to the best place that he could possibly go. And why it looked like they didn't want to go to Chicago because they were very worried about Chicago. I think that was more what they were nervous about at the time rather than the city. But obviously, if the Browns aren't good and are in position to take Aller, you wonder too, does Aller's dad even want him to go to Cleveland in general, or his parents or his family or Drew Aller?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Look,
you have to make a business decision on that one. Well, you don't have to. I mean, the draft is a draft. I don't know if... I mean, we'll see how good Arch Manning is. Maybe he won't have the cachet that we think he does. He probably will. But he probably isn't in a position to pick his destination. Drew Aller is. But yeah, it would suit me better if the Browns are bad this year, if they did not have their answer at QB. Yeah, if Sellers or Nussmeier or Klubnik, I don't know. I don't see it with Klubnik the way other people do. I got to be honest with you. Cool Ray in Bedford. Hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi.
Good morning. Hey, yo, so I think you guys are looking at this wrong. Seriously, yeah, the Browns, we do need a quarterback, but it doesn't matter for this particular team and this particular team in this particular age right now. Because we all know we can play games. Like, I listened to that speech after the first preseason. So Stefanski is not a good coach. We need a quarterback that can overcome the mistakes of a bad coach, of a bad leader. That's what the Browns need. So I'm looking at...
How many coach of the years does it take to finally get a caller to say, maybe he's not a terrible coach? Does he need three?
I don't know, maybe.
Does he need four?
Maybe get, you know, because
would five,
you know,
do the trick, Cool Ray? Does he need five coach of the years? How many?
He gonna need, I don't know, maybe become a good coach. Like what we're
so looking
at
here is, give me your list. How many good coaches are there in the NFL
this
right now?
Fun.
How many?
You guys are making my
how many?
Point right now.
I want you to make a point.
Right now,
who are the good coaches right now, and how many are there?
Let me see. Pittsburgh has a great coach. Let's say Philly has a great coach. Let's say KC has a great coach.
Philly almost fired their coach 6 weeks into the season last year.
But he did have to beat Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns to save his job. You see how that works?
So here we go. So my thing is, I think the NFL, when you talk about the Bernie Kosars of the world and all those things, that was synonymous with great coaches. We don't have
Cool Ray. Why is it that every time I see a list outside of Cleveland that does not involve Cleveland callers?
But we're going to talk about that list coming up at 9:45.
Why does every list have Kevin Stefanski in the upper half of the league in terms of coaches?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why. And this is real talk.
Let's hear it.
Because the Browns have been bad for so long. It's like that kid in school, and you guys know who this kid is. He got so many bad grades. right, for so long that he finally got a good grade that the teacher wanted to praise him. That's what it was. It was Kevin Stefanski came in because the Browns was a joke for so long that we finally did something good. So they praised the bad kid, which was the team, Browns. But let's be honest. The man had great talent and barely did anything with it, and now we're in a rebuild. And you guys, and so here in Cleveland, winning a Super Bowl isn't really – the benchmark.
That's the
just
first.
Just making the playoffs. Having a winning season.
That's the
and
first
you guys
thing.
Say it all the time. You guys say it all the time on this show, and I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
If we go 8-8, that's a winning season here in Cleveland. That is a great season. If we just don't have a losing season, that is the benchmark. So there is no.
So what's the
He's not wrong about that,
okay.
Tone.
But what's
Cool, Ray, thank you for the call. I got to go. We got to go.
He mentioned Mike Tomlin. What's the benchmark in Pittsburgh? He said Mike Tomlin's a great coach. But is Pittsburgh ever hitting
eight
their
and eight?
Yeah, my
eight,
first thought,
nine,
my,
9-8 is their benchmark. Right
I,
now.
I mean, I really like Mike Tomlin, but in Pittsburgh, they would absolutely disagree with Cool Ray. But you know, he's right. He's the coach of the Browns. If he was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, it'd be held much differently with Kevin Stefanski. Can we all be honest with each other here? Perception. Okay, just making sure. Like, part of what made Dan Campbell such a special story, everybody thought he was going to be an idiot with the kneecap speech. I didn't, but and I don't think Tone did, but a lot of people thought he was going to be an idiot with the kneecap speech. Same old sorry-ass Detroit Lions, and that he took the Detroit Lions out of the gutter and has them going, okay, we'll find out the real test of it now. He has turned into a really good coach. He has. We'll see another test of it now. Like, part of it is the organization you take over. I got to give Cool Ray that credit. Don't do that.
You just try to get me to do it.
No, don't do that.
Talking about?
Don't tell him to do it. No.
Why would I just get you to do that?
I'm not going to do it.
It's not Friday. We're good.
What you do is you wait. No, you wait until Friday, and then we have all weekend to read the nasty comments.
I just go lay down on Huron Road and let the trucks do what they will.
Anytime we got in trouble, it's been on a Friday.
Do you think I would lose my job over that take?
I don't think you'd lose your job over it.
Would it?
I think we'd definitely be talking to some people afterwards.
In the words of Andy Roth, where's the win?
On the field, Ken.
No, it's not. Not in this one. No, it's not.
I will then hold off on
I think you should.
I will hold off on my Shador Sanders take.
And it's a really good idea.
That we are now debating.
Shut up. Don't you say it. Don't you say it without saying it.
I'm not
going
to say it.
I'm serious.
This is why I run it by. I trust you guys.
There's no reason to say what you were going to like.
Don't ever say that I don't trust you guys. This is why I run this stuff in front of you. It came to me in the shower. It's a thought. It's a thought that came to me in the shower.
I have a counterpoint to you, and you're going to be, if you even mess around and say it, I'm not even talking to the mic because I'm that scared. I have a counterpoint to you that you didn't think about, and if you mess around and say it, it's going to be too late. So don't do it yet.
My take can be wrong. My take can be wrong. We've been wrong before.
I think there's a very dangerous part to what you brought up, and you won't bring it up. I don't want you to bring it up.
Okay.
So we're just going to move on to the ESPN futures, and I'm going to act like that whole first minute of the segment didn't happen. So they've had the futures power rankings. This is from Lewis Riddick, by the way.
Well, it's a bunch of contributors.
Yes, but it's giving credit Lewis Riddick. Multiple contributors, Lewis Riddick. There you go. And this is from who now? Who are all the contributors? Lewis Riddick, Ben Solak, Aaron Schatz, and Seth Waller.
Shat. So the Browns are 26th for the future power ranking. And what it does, I kind of...
You think Cool Ray was mad before. Wait until he hears
so
this.
I am interested in how they took the quarterback out because they knew the quarterback just means so much more. So that's a separate category. So they have the Browns 26th out of 32 teams in the NFL for their future prospects as a team in the NFL. The overall roster, not including quarterback, the overall roster, they have them ranked 24th out of 32 teams.
That is offense or
that is
everybody?
Everything.
That's all not, 53 men.
No, not counting the quarterback.
Okay. That's 48 men. Wait, 49 men.
How big are these rosters these days anyway? So then they have quarterback. The Browns, and this is predictable, the Browns are 31st out of 32. Okay. Coaching. Cool Ray and everybody else.
Go ahead and tell me.
They have Kevin Stefanski 14th in the upper half of the league.
Does that make him good?
Well,
I'm not laughing at that.
What are you saying?
I'm laughing at something else.
14th is decent. It's not great.
We do love a champ.
So it's 14th, but really, how many new coaches were there in the NFL this year? How many?
Five.
So it's really.
But like Vrabel's one of those. You know? Okay,
so it's really what, ninth?
No, I was going to say it's 14th out of 27 or 28.
Right. Oh.
Because I don't count the rookies, but you're right, Vrabel coaching for front office.
Yeah.
Guys, if you hate Stefanski, I mean, just understand that everybody thinks Stefanski is the thing on this Browns, in this Browns organization.
Okay.
Because they have him 14th, they have the front office 25th. So they don't like your roster, they don't like your quarterback, they don't like your front office, but they like your coach.
So they're saying any win that that the Browns get is a Kevin Stefanski win.
Or in spite of
the front office. Either way, it's in spite of the front office.
Yes.
We just had Cool Ray calling in saying he's a terrible coach.
Oh, I think there are a bunch of people that agree with him. I wasn't ridiculing Cool Ray to make him feel silly. I do think there's a lot of people that agree with Cool Ray.
My point is also different, though, on this. Is clearly the league believes that there can be a separation between the two. If worse comes to worse this year, could you find yourself trusting Kevin Stefanski with the coach, but then jettisoning the front office?
Not if they go 4-13. I just think that's the end of both of them.
See, it's weird because Lewis Riddick had written, reason for concern, the Browns have all but admitted that the acquisition of Deshaun Watson was a big-time miss as his production was not living up to his massive salary. And I go, well, the owner himself said it was a mistake.
Yeah.
However, the focus still remains on the quarterback room with four players in contention for the starting job and the very real possibility that none of them will be the long-term answer. Not an ideal situation to be as an organization, to say the least. Okay. Fair. Podcast coming up at 10:15 Eastern. What did you have in mind over there?
I think there is a chance for a certain Cleveland-based podcast to get the biggest numbers in podcast history.
You ain't going to do what you accidentally did there on the air, are you?
What's that?
Don't worry about it. 10:15 Eastern, 92.3 The Fan, extra on the free Odyssey app. You are going to absolutely love it. Big thanks to John Greco. Guys, we go around the AFC North tomorrow. Guess who's joining us?
Rapine?
Do we just do 8?
Egger.
Do we do 8 o'clock, just Cincinnati and Baltimore, and then at 8:20,
set
just
a different segment aside?
Do a whole segment. Do we do that, or do we try to fit him into the whole, to the around the AFC North? Andrew Filippone.
I don't think he's gonna go the whole around the AFC North time a lot.
Yeah, he'll probably cuss and make me have to dump him.
Yeah, because
that's what he does. He just cusses, and then we have to dump him. Then I go, and he goes, "It's your job." I go, "We work for the same company, you idiot." Yeah.
But if you chant it, it's not really a cuss.